we have mentioned the jinn. How can we not invoke also the angels, whose divine praises were evoked in the chant we just heard? The celestial beings, whose sphere is still higher up, closer to the Godhead, preceding the formation of the mind. Beings of pure spirit, before spirit incarnates, or after spirit divests itself of body and mind, spirit lives in a state of splendor. Wrapped in exaltation, glorification, there are teeming multitudes of such pure spirits. There are those who have never descended to earth, those who revolve constantly in the close proximity of the throne. Those who are thoroughly bathed in the effusions of the divine light. Others have ventured further. There are seraphim, cherubim, thrones. There are dominions and virtues and powers, principalities, archangels and angels, a vast order of disincarnate souls receiving and transmitting light through the celestial spheres. Conduits of the brilliance that kindles the stars and lights up our own eyes. Some remain aloof of all incarnation. Others are swept up in the wave of enthusiasm that is hurling toward the horizon of becoming, swept down into mind, into body. Ourselves among them, we have all been angelic lights, and at some level of being, that heritage lives on in us unsullied. And then there are those who have made the journey out and back again, and who have, stage by stage, relinquished the trappings first of the earth and then of the world of mind, given back whatever they borrowed to be taken up by others now, becoming once again sublime, pure. But these ones possess in them a certain distinction, because though they have returned the borrowed bodies they had worn, the distillation of the journey is in their keeping, and it is theirs at last to offer up when they are finally immolated in the eternity of the divine light. So our ancestors are not only human beings, nor are our relatives only animals and trees. We have predecessors among the jinn and also among the angels. We've descended from those spheres. Our lips, before they were lips, were busy with divine praise. And when we descended, the intention, we must remember, was not a departure from the worship of God, but rather the enactment of the worship of God in a very new way, in the leading out of a human life and the elaboration of a human story. Such was the motivating intent in the angel's descent, not to leave off worship and praise, but to bring it right down into earth and manifest it not only in prayer being the link, however, between our human and angelic condition, but that our very actions, our very pursuit of knowledge, our very forging of bonds among creatures on earth might all explicate and elaborate the pure praise that was so simple in the heavens. And for the renewal of our intention, there can be no alternative to reclaiming the pristine purity of what we knew in the heavens and reigniting it in our earthly prayers. Only then can we become whole, because the wholeness of the human being is a wholeness that comprehends the angel nature, the jinn nature, the plant nature, the mineral nature, the animal nature, the natures of all species of manifestation. So this ancestry is vital to reclaim. And to reclaim it also is to explode the disenchanted boundaries of our mundane consciousness and to once again enter the midst of the hosts of heaven, to be exposed to initiatic encounters, to walk among beings whose bodies are all wings, all eyes, iridescent bursts of flame and light, to be in the flocks of them, flying. And the key to this recollection and initiatic discovery is the sense of the sacred, shaking off the profanity that comes with jadedness and cynicism, and recapturing the innocence of the blank slate that is a newborn infant, and partaking of the simple, sheer enthusiasm of angelic glorification, needing no theological syllogism to justify it. It simply flares up in the encounter with uttermost beauty, in the tones of a chant pitched to the tone of the hymns of the angels, in renouncing dissimulation and guile and strategizing, then we are reunited with the hosts of heaven and conscious of a congregation of fellow worshippers who are in fact kinsmen, kinswomen, and indeed precursors, ancestors of our own soul. Angelic lights mutually interpenetrating as the breeze, as breeze flows into breeze, or lights overlapping and mutually irradiating one another, as when lamps are turned on in a room, one after another, their orbs fusing. Such is the life of the angels, and such becomes our recollection of a mode of being before we were bounded and constrained. this ancestry too, we reclaim in the name of the eternal and the living, vital essence and fashioner of every form. One ascends high enough among the angels, one enters the presence of the ones called the Hayot, and beings whom sacred tradition names presences of God, manifestations of God. Because at such an altitude, what is the angel? There is hardly the merest glimmer of any kind of distinguishable identity. It's the overflow of the divine light. It's emanation, like solar flares. Where does the source end and the manifestation begin? The fountainhead overflows, and as the flood flows forth, it is resolved in channels and little rivulets and droplets transpire. But there at the source, there is this undelineable churning out of light, and the nearest angels are lost in it. They're pure flood, pure flow. What is it that overflows? What brims and bursts and fills time and space? Whatever we see or hear or smell or taste, whatever we think or feel, it's all the consequence of this it's all the apparency of this primordial display. What is shown, it's what was hidden and now revealed. It's the names, it's the qualities, latencies actualized, a hidden treasure. There's nothing down here, if we may speak metaphorically, that wasn't already up there, nothing out here that wasn't in there, but it was hidden. Just like there's nothing in a flower that wasn't in the seed, but the seed is minuscule and its colors and petals are indistinguishable until the unfurling of the stalk and the blooming of the blossom. So everything on the horizon and in ourselves, everything struggling to be born, appearing and disintegrating, is all this revelation, brimming up, overflowing. This then is the root of our ancestry, the wellspring without which nothing. Hence, who is the we? There is really only this one being, refracting, reflecting, manifesting what was hidden, then withdrawing it into hiddenness again so that other scenarios, other conjunctions might find the right admixture of light and shadow in which to be disclosed, like the shadow play of a magic lantern, the shade of which revolves around the central flame, the revolving shade with its carved apertures, sending out shifting projections on the wall. This is Al-Qayyum. This is the being eternal, by which is everything, without which is nothing, reducible to no particular thing, and yet present everywhere, always. The one from whom we come and to whom we return, and whose manifestation we are day by day, moment by moment. Here is Al-Qayyum and here is Al-Hayy. Flooding time and space. Impelling every gesture. And not only projecting a random sequence of various combinations of patterns, but actually internally undergoing a process of progressive self-revelation by means of exile and reunion, forgetting and remembering, by means of the interplay of all of the qualities, by means of the aggregate of the stories of our lives, which are so many chapters in one book, by means of the mission of the messengers and prophets, and the response of humanity, by means of the symphony of nature, all in anticipation of the furtherance of the divine guidance that is stage by stage unveiling the furtherance of what is to be known. In this way, Al-Hayy satisfies an ancient desire. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, 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 Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. Continuing more internally now, and as you recite, as you say Ya Hayyu with your head from left to right, you trace the horizontal line of becoming. And as you say Ya Qayyum, you draw the vertical line constitutive of the eternity of Al Qayyum. Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. Hi-yo. Hi-yo. Ya. Shall we listen now to the singing of Maikant? So stay in this high frequency for the remainder of the day. Keep recalling these two names and what these names convey. Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. As often as you can, keep up the inner fikr, the inner recitation of these two names as you exhale Hayy and as you inhale Qayyum. But when you walk, if you walk slowly, you can coordinate the names with your footsteps. Step forward on the right foot. Hayy. Left foot. Qayyum. Hayy. Qayyum. Hayy. Qayyum. Like that. So wrap yourself up in these names, in these names which elucidate the presence of the One in transcendence and in immanence. The sum of your heritage, the goal of your journey. Now as it ever was and ever will be. Everything that is destined to occur is already there. But in the unfurling transpires a meaning that is otherwise unknowable. So we live out our lives in the paradox of leading mortal lives within eternity, acting upon that which has always been and will always be, and yet in the very acting upon it, something is made real. So live in these names, walk in them, breathe in them, and remember this, that this body is the vehicle of the mind. And the mind is the vehicle of the soul. And the soul is the vehicle of the One who is forever. Who then is the you? Where does you begin? Where does you end? So let us not cling too tightly to ingrained views concerning our own identity, but keep lifting up all thought toward the One. And when it comes, let it come down from there. So now has come the time to conclude for the day before the evening gathering, to pause for supper, and so we say the prayer together of blessing for dinner. O Thou, the sustainer of our bodies, hearts, and souls, bless all that we receive in thankfulness.